Good morning. This is the Utah State Tax Commission. We have present today our commissioners, the full Bank of Commissioners, Commissioner Dixon, Commissioner Perrow, myself as chairman, and our good commissioner, our executive director also. We're pleased to have everyone here with us today. Let's go ahead and start our agenda. This is time set for our commission meeting. This is being held in the commission offices of the Utah State Tax Commission. This is now the time for public comment. If anyone wishes to address the commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the tax commission. I see none. Then we'll consider approving commission minutes of our December 11th, 2014 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Dixon. I move approval of the minutes.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Is there any debate on the motion? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. We now have our annual OPMA training, and I think Commissioner Cregan, are you conducting that? Or
yes, I will. I wanted to ask, though, should we take up item 5 now, and then Captain Stoddard would be free to leave since he sat through this same presentation yesterday?
I think that's very appropriate.
Okay.
And I'll accept that as a motion to adjust the agenda, and I don't think we'll even need to vote on it. So let's go to item number 5 and skip item number 4 for just a few minutes. Item number 5 is consideration of pending legislation. Let me just indicate that myself and Lynn have spent significant time going through the bills that have been pre-filed at this point. Commissioner Perrow has been going through the bills as well, reading them for purposes of fiscal note implementation. And with that, we have one bill that we believe that we ought to take a commission position on at this time. So I'd like Lynn, if she would, to make an explanation of the bill.
Thank you. I'm Lynn Solarczyk. The bill that Chairman Valentine is suggesting the commission take a position on is Senate Bill 51, entitled Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division Account Amendments. This would be a proposed commission bill and a bill. This is a bill that we requested of the sponsor at the recommendation of the legislative fiscal analyst. And what this bill does is right now the temporary permits and the temporary sports event permits, those monies come to us as a dedicated credit. And what the bill will do is we'll change those from a dedicated credit. The money will go into a restricted account, which will be appropriated to us by the legislature. Restricted account is non-lapsing, and the monies that is appropriated to us from that are also non-lapsing. And the purpose of this is to help us when there are valleys in the car sales. And it would become effective on July 1st.
Of this year?
2015.
Thank you. Questions of Lynn on the bill?
I don't have questions of Lynn, but I do have questions of our executive director.
Yeah, please.
That's okay. This is Commissioner Dixon. Director, did you... Is this an item that we initiated for the purposes of supporting our Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division?
Yes, it is, Commissioner. This is Barry Conover, Executive Director. Every time we have a downswing in the economy, it hits the motor vehicle industry rather heavily. And this whole division's funding comes out of temporary permits and the other permit that Lynn on
sports events.
And so when that happens, we have to lay off staff. And so as we were contemplating, how do we hit that valley and keep it kind of stable, we visited with the fiscal analyst, Jonathan Ball. I then visited with the chairman about it, and they both came back with the same recommendation that we put that into restrictive account, that we kind of have that available for those slack times. And there's another issue, too. Whenever the employees get a COLA or some type of a raise in salary, we have to pick that up out of that fund. And so that allows us to give them that opportunity rather than take from other types of products or initiatives within that division. So, yes, it was needed.
Right. Thank you. I believe this is something that we've discussed over the years, that there was a need to figure out how to breed some predictability and some stability to something that's dependent upon something that fluctuates. So I'm fully in support of this, and I hope it has good support on the Hill.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes,
just
Commissioner Craig.
That I've spent some time with Julie Alsop, our budget director, making sure that I understand how this bill is intended to work, how the current system works, and I believe that this will be an improvement as we've planned.
Good. Thank you. Captain Stoddard, would you like to address the commission on this bill at all?
I think it's been well stated.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments before I take a motion? If not, a motion's in order.
I would move that the Tax Commission take a position of supporting the bill. I believe we call it Position A, which is a Tax Commission bill for Senate Bill 51 in the upcoming general session.
Thank you. Motion's in order. The motion is to assume a position of support for Senate Bill 51, Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division Account Amendments. To the motion. See no further debate. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. Senate Bill 51 will be a bill supported as a Commission A bill.
Mr. Chairman, can I take a point of personal privilege for a
yes,
minute?
Please.
Mr. Stoddard, would you just stay for just 30 seconds? Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. I think after I do this point of personal privilege, I think I will excuse myself. I note that there is a quorum, and I do have an item that's kind of come up that I feel like I need to take care of. But if I could, just for 1 minute, I note that we have our Open and Public Meetings Act training, and I think I always enjoy it. I enjoy reviewing what we need to do and why we need to do it. And usually we have all of our division heads here, and so I miss seeing them in the audience. I just want our executive director to know that. But our executive director prior to the meeting explained that because we had to move our meeting from tomorrow to today, his team couldn't attend. But I wanted to note in the public record why we moved the meeting. And it was because we all lost a colleague in former Speaker of the House, Rebecca Lockhart, last weekend. And the memorial service, the public memorial service, is tomorrow at the State Capitol Rotunda at 10 a.m., which would have been a conflict for those who are able to and wanted to attend that public memorial. And I thought it was just appropriate to maybe put into the record, especially with Curtis Stoddard here from the Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division and our last act in trying to find a way to support the Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division, to recognize that Representative Speaker Lockhart, before she was the Speaker, when she was the Majority Whip, I had the privilege of working with her very closely on a bill called HB 37, Criminal Background Checks on Motor Vehicle Salesperson Licenses. And I approached her very late in the year, asked her if she would sponsor this. It was an idea that I'd come up with, gone through Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division with. And she was gracious enough to step in and do this. And it was just an absolute privilege to work with her on it. She was so detailed, wanted to know every aspect of the Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division, how the motor vehicle sales worked, how this would assist the Tax Commission and MVED in doing their job. And in many respects, in all honesty, it was a privilege to work with the Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division on it. The New Car Dealers of Utah, the Independent Auto Dealers Association, supported the bill. But it probably was, looking back, just one of the highlights of my time here at the Tax Commission to have that opportunity to interact with who would be the first woman speaker of the Utah House of Representatives on a daily basis for several months. And I just wanted to take a minute while I could to just honor her and thank her for what she did to help us.
Thank you for your remarks. They're very appropriate, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Before we move on to the OPMA training, is there any other bills that would like to be discussed? They would not be able to take action on them at this time because they've not been part of the agenda. I'll give that opportunity now if there is. Seeing none, we'll move on to the OPMA training. Commissioner Cragen.
Mr. Chairman, could you just note for the record that I am going to excuse myself?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner.
Well, thank you. This is the first commission meeting of the calendar year, and this is the time that we traditionally go through our Open and Public Meetings Act training. I did present this to the Motor Vehicle Advisory Board yesterday, which is why I suggested that maybe we could let Captain Stoddard leave. Just start out by noting that the state legislature has declared that the state government exists to serve the people of Utah and that its agencies and political subdivisions will conduct the people's business in the open so that the people know what we are deliberating and why we are making the decisions that we're making. And that's how the Open and Public Meetings Act came about. The statute describes or defines an open meeting as a meeting that is not closed. It further defines meeting as the convening of a public body with a quorum present, and each of those three terms, convening, public body, and quorum, are also defined by statute. Convening of a public body means the calling together by someone who is authorized to do so, a public body to be able to discuss or act upon a subject over it which it has jurisdiction or advisory powers. So a meeting just to discuss something does require the convening of a meeting. In the statute, there's a five-part test for a public body. Probably the one that is the most important is the number of people who participate in the public body. If there are two more persons together, that makes them a public body. That is particularly true or specifically true if state law creates the body and they have authority to do business and their work is supported by tax revenue. Well, if you look at the State Tax Commission, we fit all of those tests. The whole purpose for our existence is to collect the tax revenue and disperse it as specified by statute. There are four of us. And our body is created by the Constitution. So that means we are a public body and we are subject to the Open and Public Meetings Act. Contrast that, though, with our executive director, who candidly does the bulk of the work of leading this agency. His office is created by statute, and he collects and disperses that tax revenue that we talked about, and he has authority over our employees and so forth. But because the executive director is one person, he is not a public body, and he is not subject to the Open and Public Meetings Act as he meets with his staff. He does not have to post an agenda or do the other things, make recordings of their meetings like we would do as a public body. Just note that within the Tax Commission, there are a couple of other boards, the Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division Advisory Board. It is a public body made up of five persons who assist the director of the MVED division in administering their statute. And then the Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, which is chaired by Commissioner Pirro, also five persons, and they have authority to recommend land values to the Tax Commission, so therefore they fall under the definition of a public body and must follow this statute. So back to our definition, if we have a convening of a public body with a quorum present, the statute applies. So let's look at the definition of a quorum. The Open and Public Meetings Act defines a quorum as a simple majority of the membership unless otherwise defined by law. That becomes important for the Tax Commission because our statute does specify that it requires three members of the Commission to constitute a quorum. There are four members of the Tax Commission. About 2 years ago, we actually had a vacancy and there were only three members holding office at the time. If it weren't for this statute, anytime two commissioners got together during that short period, they would have been a quorum under the default provisions of the Open and Public Meetings Act. But because we have a specific statute that specifies otherwise, it's always three members of the Tax Commission to conduct business. The MVED Board has a statute that specifies a simple majority constitutes a quorum, as which is the same as the default, but they do have a specific statute. Contrast that with the Farmland Committee, where there is no statutory definition. In that situation, the Open and Public Meetings Act default simple majority applies. So here's how you go about having an open meeting. Several steps that we have to go through, and fortunately, our assistant Krista helps us keep on task for most of these. We have to post an annual notice of our regular meeting schedule. We did that at the last meeting of the last calendar year. We have adopted a rule that governs electronic participation so that we can have an anchor location with at least one commissioner present, and the other three commissioners can participate by telephone or other electronic conferencing means. We have to post a notice 24 hours in advance with an agenda. And our agenda has to identify the topics that we're going to consider with reasonable specificity. So that means we can't just put we're going to have a meeting and talk. We have to make a list of what it is we're going to talk about. And you'll notice on our agenda we have several items that are marked action item. We do that so that the public knows that the public body will be voting on something in particular as opposed to just discussing it. We are required to make a recording, and it has to be posted on public website within 3 days of our meeting, another one of those things that Krista takes care of for us. And I believe that the last bullet is the big change that came in the last legislative session, and that is that any electronic information presented at the meeting has to be included in the official record. I gave this presentation to Krista a couple of days ago so that she would have it to be a part of our record so that we comply with that change. Some public bodies don't meet that frequently, and so the law requires that within 30 days of having a meeting, a public body has to post its pending minutes for the public to review so the public has some idea what happened in the meeting, but there does include a notice that there may be changes because it's only the public body that can approve those minutes. When that happens, it has to happen in an open meeting, and it becomes the official record of the prior meeting, and that official record has to be posted within 3 days of approval, along with the materials that we talked about in the last slide. Now, there is no requirement in law that a public body have a closed meeting, but a public body may have a closed meeting to discuss certain issues if there's a quorum present, and two-thirds of the members approve. Here on this slide is a list of the things that can be discussed in a closed meeting. I think all of them probably apply to the State Tax Commission. We don't do a lot of collective bargaining because the governor tends to set the employees' salaries and budgets. So we don't do a lot of that, but I suppose if we ever wanted to have a discussion on collective bargaining, we could do that. Well, if we're going to have a closed meeting to discuss one of those topics, we have to start in an open meeting that has been properly noticed. We have to announce why we're having the meeting, and we have to, when we vote on whether or not to have a meeting, we have to have a roll call vote or list the members by name in the minutes who voted for it. And then we have to announce before we leave why we're having the meeting and where we're going to have the closed meeting at. While we're in a closed meeting, we can take no actions, and it's our option whether we're going to have minutes taken of the meeting. Our practice is to make minutes of the meeting just so that we stay in the habit. We must have a recording of a closed meeting except for two situations. The other one we do have to have a recording. If we're discussing the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, or the deployment of security, personnel, devices, or systems, we do not make a recording. But in the open meeting, the chairman would sign a sworn statement saying that the only thing that the body discussed in their closed meeting were those two topics. And then, of course, we have to return to an open meeting to take any action. The statute specifies that there are three situations that are not a meeting, a chance gathering of a public body. So if all of us happen to be strolling through City Creek on the same day at the same time and we run into each other, that is not a meeting that requires the posting of a notice or minute or an agenda. However, we cannot use that as an opportunity to get around the Open and Public Meetings Act. We can't just say, well, as long as you're here, let's vote on whether or not we're going to keep Barry Conover as our executive director. That can only be done in a meeting where we posted a notice. If we go to the employee picnic in the summertime, that's a social gathering. That is not a meeting. We don't have to post an agenda. We don't have to post a notice, but we also cannot say, well, as long as we're here, let's vote on whether or not we're going to authorize employees to take additional leave time. That has to be done in a public meeting. Specifically, the statute also says, and I guess I should give kudos to Commission Chair Valentine because he carried the bill, it says that the USTC, considering confidential tax matters, is not a meeting. That's a significant change that came about in the law about 4 years ago when Chairman Valentine was a member of the State Senate. So let's talk specifically about those confidential tax matters. There's a list here that on the slide that's included in statute. Our meetings generally that we hold on Tuesdays to discuss offers in compromise waivers and so forth fall into confidential tax matters. When we discuss private letter rulings, as we will later today, that's a confidential tax matter. Our appeals, hearings, and deliberations, and any disclosures prohibited by federal law, those all fit into those categories. And so we have to have a confidential, when we have a confidential meeting to discuss those, we have to keep a confidential recording and minutes, and we do that. But we're not required to have a recording or keep minutes of initial hearings, which by statute specifically we can make no record of, and our deliberations, which the Supreme Court determined is a quasi-judicial function and therefore exempt from the Open and Public Meetings Act. In the bill that then-Senator Valentine carried, the legislature codified that finding of the Supreme Court that our deliberations are not subject to the Open and Public Meetings Act and we don't have to keep a recording. I would just mention that this confidential meeting provision applies only to the State Tax Commission, so no other public body can invoke it. Here's just a list of things that we need to keep in mind every year as we go through the statute. We are permitted to have electronic transmissions during our meeting. We can send texts in and out of the meeting. We can send texts among ourselves in the meeting if for some reason we need to, but again, if we're going to vote on something, that has to be done so that the public knows that we voted on it. We can't have a secret vote just by using electronic transmissions. We are allowed to remove disruptive people from the meeting. I do have to say that if our internal auditor doesn't settle down, we'll call in a cop and have him move. The public can sue us to void an action that we've taken. If we haven't followed the act, the public can sue us to compel us to comply with the act. Frankly, the easiest way to overcome those two lawsuits is to properly post a notice, post an agenda, vote in public, issue minutes, and put a recording on the website. So if a public body is ever sued, under the statute, that's my recommendation, is just do it over and do it right, and the suit goes away. It becomes moot. If we have a closed meeting, a court can review those closed meeting recordings to determine whether or not we have violated the Open and Public Meetings Act, and if a violation is found, a court can impose a criminal penalty on us for doing so. The last piece of miscellany is that the law requires that we have annual training on this statute, and I congratulate you for surviving once again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Any questions of Commissioner Cragen? I have one real quick one. And that is, back on the permitted discussions of character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, mm-hmm. is it possible to have in a closed meeting discussion regarding personnel issues under that exception?
I don't think that you can discuss like personnel policies or those sorts of things in a closed meeting. But if you're discussing an individual person's compliance with a personnel policy, I think that that probably could fit into competence. But I think that's going to be one of those things where you're getting close to the line. What you should be I'll tell you that the last time that the tax commission used this particular provision was when we were interviewing candidates for our executive director position. We would come into an open meeting, announce that we were going up to our conference room to interview executive director candidates. We didn't say who the person was. We went up there and conducted our interviews and came back into an open meeting and signed the affidavit saying that that's all we talked about was that person's competence to do the job. So it depends, I guess, is the best answer. I hope that's a helpful answer.
That's probably as vague as helpful can be.
Welcome to the law.
Thank you very much. Back to our agenda. Next item is the Executive Director's Report. Executive Director Conover.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just wrapped up a meeting this morning with a company called Einan. It's the company that we will be using to handle all of our VoIP, our voice over IP connections and internet connections. We finalized the requirements on the call centers. We'll be starting to string wire with Americom starting by the 1st of February. And our plan is to have both the cabling in, the reconfiguration of the floors to meet that cabling requirement, and have Einan in place in the August-September timeframe of this year. So that's another thing that we'll be bringing this building up to spec. So when you take a look at this building, it's over 20 years old. We've had a new painting in last year, the complete building interior. It's been painted. It's been recarpeted. The linoleum has been replaced. We'll have a new voice system in place. We've got new tax systems out there. I think we're sitting in a pretty darn good place. And I'm grateful for the support that the commission has given us over these years to move this forward. We couldn't have done it as an agency without your direction and your assistance. And also I want to thank the governor's office and also the legislature for their ongoing support of these projects.
Gee, I thought you were just doing this because I came here.
Well, maybe so.
Just kidding.
But, it's been good. And I think our employees' morale is up, and they are doing well. And I appreciate all that support. That's about all I have this time. So
thank you very much. Commissioner reports. We'll start with Commissioner Pirro.
I have nothing.
Commissioner Craig?
I don't have anything, thank you.
The Chair has a few items real quickly, just to kind of give you a progress report on the legislative preparation. This will be my first session on this side of the legislative aisle where I'm coming in and representing the Tax Commission. I'm going to ask commissioners to take assignments over certain subject areas that you are presently already taking assignments in. For example, motor vehicles. I'm going to ask Commissioner Cragen to take assignments to monitor bills in those areas. Commissioner Pirro, I'm going to ask you to do the same in real and personal property. I'll go ahead and take sales tax and income tax for now. We're a whole team, and so we may have to pass off from time to time the ball on a particular item that may need some assistance, or we may even need all hands on deck if we've got something that's really particularly difficult. At this point in time, I appreciate very much the assistance that you've offered me individually in those areas, so I'm going to make those assignments now publicly in a public meeting. Lynn Zalarczyk has been extremely helpful and has a great system that I'm still trying to learn all the details on of how to track the bills as they affect the commission. We've had a couple of bills that we were concerned about in the way they were initially introduced. We've met with sponsors, and we've got commitments from sponsors to make some changes, and that will be very helpful if we can continue to do that as we progress. We will be dealing with budget issues on the Hill, and the executive director and myself will be spending a significant amount of time on those. As you may or may not know, well, the legislature, through a legislative action of the Executive Appropriations Committee, has given us a 2% budget cut from last year's budget. And so we'll be working through that to see how that would affect us, whether we can hire our seasonal employees, and some of the other things that we do to make our function work better will be, I think, something that we'll be discussing with the legislature as far as what the 2% cut is. Going into the session, and if I may speak boldly on behalf of our executive director, we have made no new budget request, no increase in base, no building blocks. We have asked the governor's office and the legislature to consider our employees if there's any general increase in compensation for employees, but that's the only thing that we've really had as an ask. This tax commission runs very efficiently, and we are able to generate the kinds of services that we have with the budgets we've been given. And through internal savings, sometimes we've been able to do some additional things that have been beneficial to our taxpayers. One final note, I say with very great pride as I go and visit with people, especially professionals in the tax preparation area and the tax litigation area, that we get our refunds out within 15 days after the processing is completed. And that's remarkable. We also have over half of our returns in all areas are electronic now. That is also remarkable, and some of those are up in the 80% range. So I am very, very proud to be the chairman of this tax commission because it is operating very efficiently, and it's actually offering very friendly service to the taxpayers of Utah. So, again, kudos to the commission, kudos to the executive director, and to the whole tax commission staff. Any other items before we adjourn at this time? I see none. Motion to adjourn is in order.
I move that we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule passes unanimously. We are adjourned.